First up, with Christopher Nikhil Bowen, who is calling in. And Chris, are you there on the air with us? We got you live.
I am. Glad to be with you.
Oh, Chris, so good to have you. Welcome to the Sidebar Show. I was telling people earlier today about the Stonewall Young Democrats, and somebody said, why do we need Young Democrats? And I said, you know what? That is going to be my very first question to Christopher Bowen. Why the reason to exist? What was the raison d'etat? Why did Stonewall Young Democrats decide to form itself?
Well, thank you for the question. And yeah, that is something that I actually get pretty regularly, a question I get pretty regularly. And I'll tell you, for years, our organization existed kind of as a youth organization under the Stonewall Democratic Club. And what we had found within the past 5 years or so is that we wanted to create a space specifically for young voices, for people that identify as LGBT or our allies, and we wanted to specifically empower people of color and immigrants and people that have been traditionally disenfranchised. And John, you probably know this because we both live in West Hollywood, but oftentimes organizations, particularly political ones, are dominated by white men. And so we wanted to create a space where the voices of people that are not traditionally heard, even in LGBT spaces, get an equal time, an equal say.
Which is awesome. And so our viewers know you are actually of Indian descent, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I was actually born in Calcutta, India.
Awesome. And so you're very prominently, when you show up at events, people look at you and they say, okay, that is obviously a different shade of gay, because they're not accustomed to seeing people, I think, from that southeast part of Asia involved in LGBT community at all, much less politics. So,
yeah, it is different, especially for the API community. And probably it was very similar to the Latino community in that it wasn't as widely accepted and as quickly as accepted in other communities. So communities of color are grappling, as you know, with some of those barriers more so than others.
I think that's true. I think you know this, Chris, but I was the very first and only person of color ever elected to the West Hollywood City Council in its 35 years of being a city. And I think I'm a light-skinned Latino, so I think a lot of times people don't see Duran as a Latino surname, more so now than 20 years ago. But that's why when I got installed, very first council term, I brought a mariachi band to make it very clear, very clear from day one who I was and what my culture is.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's so important that we stress that, because sometimes people will say things to people of color like, oh yeah, I forgot that you were a person of color. And we're supposed to take that like it's a compliment. Like, oh yeah, right, right, yeah, we're passing, we're white enough for you. No, that's not what we should be doing. We should be talking about our diversity and celebrating our diversity.
Awesome. Chris, when we come back, we want to talk to you more about millennials and boomers and, of course, politics. Thanks for tuning in, gang, here on Channel Q. Okay, my young heterosexual millennial, please tell me you know which two women were just singing Happy Days Are Here Again. Please?
I have no clue.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland singing Happy Days Are Here Again.
Okay, so I didn't know what version you wanted, so this is actually the Glee version.
Oh, that's Glee. Okay, I am so yes. Oh, my God, that sounded just like Judy Garland. And
hey, they have great vocals.
They have great vocals. All right, I stand corrected.
I got you.
Which brings us into our Okay Boomer moment of the day. We're talking to Christopher Nikhil Bowen from the Stonewall Young Democrats. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you.
You know, I did not realize that okay boomer was a disparaging remark until a few weeks ago. Some young millennial said to me, okay boomer, and I'm like, okay goober. I was like, whatever, hi, okay. I didn't realize it was supposed to be disparaging, but being the Stonewall Young Democrats, do you ever feel that generational tug where, you know, people over 50 see the world differently than, let's say, people under 40?
I absolutely see it. And obviously, specifically within our LGBT community, I think that we've made so many advances so quickly that people that are over, probably even over 40, have a totally different life experience with being LGBT than people that are under 40. And so that shapes the way that they interact with the rest of the world.
I think that's true. I know for like my friends and I, being over 50, you know, we went and walked through a plague. We walked through an epidemic where hundreds of our friends died. And I think for younger people, they're aware of that, that that's part of the history of the LGBT community, but they didn't experience it. They may know people who have HIV, and maybe they know someone who died of AIDS, but they don't know over 100 people who died of AIDS. So obviously, right, just that one example, I think, shapes the way in which each of us look at the world differently.
Right. Yeah, I think it's totally true. And it's difficult to try to convince people that are under 40 about some of the difficulties that those that are over 40 have gone through. And I think that folks that are younger get a little frustrated with what they perceive as the lack of revolutionary spirit that those that are over 40 have. And those that are over 40 are saying, listen, you have no idea what we've been through.
We started the revolution, damn it.
Right, right.
Hey, I'm curious. Now, Pete Buttigieg, obviously the leading contender for the Democratic nomination in Iowa right now, he is an LGBT millennial. He's, well, maybe he's Generation Y. I think he's 37, 38. But obviously, he's under 40.
Right.
Does that mean Stonewall Young Democrats as an organization, or maybe you individually, you're going to support Pete Buttigieg's candidacy, or are you looking to other candidates? What's going on with your club?
Well, the club tends to not get involved at the presidential level because so many of us have different opinions on who to endorse for president. And honestly, we don't have a whole lot of sway as to who becomes the next president. We all have our own individual opinions, but it's obviously pretty contentious, and there's no need to go down that road if we don't have to. So we generally try to stay out of the presidential elections.
How about you personally? Are you supporting someone?
Yeah, I'm actually supporting Bernie Sanders, as well as, you know, well over 50% of folks my age. And that's because I think that he has a very good record on talking about wealth redistribution and the climate crisis. And I think that when we're living here in the Los Angeles area and we're looking at people living in extreme, extreme wealth, and then on the other hand, folks living literally on the streets, you know, 50,000 people plus in LA County living on the streets, a lot of people that are young people, and a lot of these people are LGBT people, and that's our community, and that's deeply concerning for all of us. But I think for people that are younger, they're looking at the situation, they're assessing, and they're saying, you know what? We think that we might be able to fix this.
Mm. So I got to tell you, my candidate was Kamala Harris, the Attorney General. I'm sorry, not Attorney General, U.S. Senator from California. She got an elevation, I forgot, because I've known her since she was the District Attorney of San Francisco. And she dropped out. So I don't have a candidate now. And I'm kind of going every which way, because I do like some of the things Bernie Sanders says, but I also like some of the things Elizabeth Warren says. I know Joe Biden. I knew Joe Biden when he was in the Obama administration. And so, and I'm open to Pete Buttigieg. So I actually haven't decided at this point who I'm going to vote for in March. But obviously, we had a historic vote in Great Britain yesterday, with Labour losing by extraordinary numbers, giving Boris Johnson a new parliamentarian majority to push Brexit through and break the United Kingdom away from the rest of a united Europe. Does that loss in any way impact, you think, our U.S. elections? I mean, I saw critics all over social media today and in the press saying, well, we could do the same thing could happen if either Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren is the nominee.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of overlap. But what I would caution is for the Democratic Party to remember to stay on message, and their message needs to be talking to the American people, the base, the middle class voters. And I think sometimes, you know, when Elizabeth Warren or when Bernie Sanders or when folks are up there talking about eliminating most or all of student loan debt, and they're talking about making things free that over half of the country is not even trying to gain access to, some people just tune out and they're like, you know what, this is really just upper middle class, upper class content. What are they going to do for working class people? And I think that we need to make sure that we are talking about those issues as Democrats and making them key pillars of the campaign as we move forward, because what we don't want to do is have another term of Donald Trump. So I think that we need to get this right.
That will unify all of us right there, the thought of another term of Donald Trump. Hey, look, we've only got about a minute and a half left, but I have to ask, because you come from the culture of India, from a culture that is very much focused, I think, on generation to generation. You know, not one particular religion over the other. I know people from India who are Hindu, who are Buddhist, who are Christian, various religions. Coming out as a gay kid or a gay kid from Indian ancestry, was there ever anything culturally that was an obstacle for you, religion or the stress to marry and have children, like I think a lot of Asian cultures demand? Anything happen like that for you?
I would say that mine is a very unique situation in that I was adopted. So my siblings are from all over the world, and I grew up in Vermont, actually, which is like the whitest state in the union. So we looked like the UN at our house, and everyone else looked like, you know, what people thought America looked like in 1900, right? So it was like a very unique experience for me.
Well, there you go. You are the true American dream and patriot, Christopher Nikhil Bowen. I love that. And my hat's off to your parents for doing that. We have less than 30 seconds here. Anything on a website, or how can people get a hold of Stonewall Young Democrats? You guys got a Twitter page or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, we're on Twitter, the Stonewall Young Dems, and visit our website, stonewallyoungdems.org. We're getting involved in a lot of local races. We're getting involved in state races, and we need more people, particularly immigrants, people of color, people that have been traditionally shut out of the political process. We want you as part of our team, so come join us.
Christopher Bowen, thank you for joining us on Sidebar, and have a great election year. Maybe we can have you back again in 2020.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to it.
All right. When we come back, our own gay Gene Dixon, Marcus Barrington, with predictions for 2020 here on Channel Q.